Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast, where we take a behind-the-scenes, intimate look at surgery from leaders in the field.
So welcome to another episode of Behind the Knife. Today we're continuing our Annals of Surgery Journal Club series with Dr. Pierre Clevian. And we are also joined by Roxanne Steger. So Dr. Clevian is professor and chairman of the Department of Surgery in Zurich, Switzerland. He completed a PhD and an HPB and liver transplant fellowship in Toronto, Canada prior to a tenure at Duke University. And now he's back in Switzerland. He's on multiple editorial boards and as a surgeon scientist has been very active in research. His name may sound familiar to you as one half of the Clevian-Dindo classification of surgical complications. He is joining us today to discuss a paper titled The Comprehensive Complication Index is a novel cost assessment tool for surgical procedures. And like I said, we are also joined by the first author of this paper, Roxanne, who is completing her PhD, and this was part of her project.
Okay, thank you very much for the invitation and for your interest in this other study on outcome research.
Thank you so much for joining us. I will start off our discussion, and my first question for you both is, what inspired you to do the study?
So maybe I start with this question, since it's important to have good ideas and do something that is relevant. For many years, doctors, surgeons were not so much involved in health economy. We basically ignore this topic. Over the past decade, it's no doubt that we must be also involved. We have figures coming from our administration and other payers who are complaining that we are too expensive, so we must go in this field too. The idea here was to develop a tool or something that is easy accessible, that we understand easily, that give us some information about the cost of a procedure of a group of patients. The first observation that we made and with other centers is that the most significant driving force for costs in surgery is complication. This is postoperative complication that have the most significant impact on the cost at the end of the day, and not the risk factors, which play also a role, but the complications. So with this idea, we decided to look at a formula, simple formula, taking mostly into account the complication, the baseline price that will enable us to assess the cost of procedures. And this work was done by Roxanne Steger, who completed a residency and now is doing a PhD with one of the main focus is exactly this, to look at complications. She will develop a bit how we measure these complications, to adjust also for some risk factors, and at the end of the day, to have a formula that gives us information about the cost of a procedure.
Dr. Steger, could you briefly describe how your metric works, how the comprehensive complication index is calculated, and how that directly influences costs?
Yes, I'm happy to. Well, the comprehensive complication index was actually established by my predecessor in 2013, Ksenia Slankomenac, which actually came up with the great idea to reflect overall morbidity on a scale from 0 to 100, meaning 0, the patient has no complication at all, and 100 means the patient died after surgery. Now, overall morbidity in comparison to the Clevian-Dindo classification gives us the possibility to include more than just one single complication, which is usually stated as when complications are graded by Clevian-Dindo classification. Now, with the comprehensive complication index, as we call it, CCI, we have the possibility to include several complications, because most patients have usually more than one complication in more complicated surgeries. So now we have the possibility, by grading each single complication that occurred by Clavient endoclassification, and then put it into the comprehensive complication index calculation and come out with an answer to the question, how high was overall morbidity after this specific surgery, which lay somewhere between 0 and 100, as mentioned. And lower complications, like if you just have one grade one complication, is around 8.7 CCI points. And multiple complications with intensive care stays, multiple reoperations will end up above 60, up to 80, 90.
And with that metric established, how did you go from this complication index to predicting cost for a wide variety of surgical procedures? Can you walk us through the study design and sort of briefly describe your outcomes?
Yes, of course. Well, for this surgery, we focused on just abdominal surgeries, because that's pretty much where our specialty lays in. And what we did is we collected first data on cost and complications of the patients during 3 years in our hospital. And our first step was actually to identify if CCI would be a good substitute for cost, meaning is there a high correlation, a high match of cost to the level of overall morbidity. Once we have established that, that was actually the first step necessary to actually be able to create a prediction model on the basis, because if there had not been such a strong correlation between CCI and cost, there wouldn't have been a point in trying to develop a prediction model. Now, what we did is we collected, as I said, cost and complication data on 7 different abdominal surgery operations, which were from mild severity, like cholecystectomy or bariatric surgeries, up to more complicated operations such as pancreas surgery, liver transplantation. The idea was to get a wide range of complications, from mild ones up to high complex postoperative courses, which give a high CCI level. And later on, there's a second step. We tried to figure out which parameters would be important to predict costs. And of course, there's always the question of comorbidity, which you see in the end, we didn't include, because we figured comorbidity is well reflected in the patient's age as well as type of surgery. So overall, what we came up is the prediction parameters which were important to us were age of the patient, type of operation, and the overall morbidity level measured by CCI. And with those three simple parameters, we can very well predict costs as we detected. And we also, of course, validated this prediction model first as a temporal validation on a second part of our data, and further on did an international validation of our prediction model on 6 international centers, which included Europe as well as USA. And what we came up with was actually quite interesting, because now what we detected is that it matters, age really matters, how much the costs increase after surgery. Like if a patient is between, I don't know, up to 50 years old, there is no increase. But suddenly, if the patient's between 50 and 70 years old, there is suddenly an increase of 12% of the cost. And if the patient is above 70 years, there's a 24% increase of the total cost of this surgery, which we analyzed. So this was an actually interesting because there we see that comorbidity is actually reflected in age. And another interesting finding which we had was that per each 10 CCI points, costs increase by 14%. So now we offer, of course, a web page, so nobody has to calculate this in their minds. But with our prediction model, now we can just put in how old the patient was, what type of abdominal surgery was performed, and how high overall morbidity was, so the CCI level, and it gives a very well reflection of the costs to be expected of the treatment of that patient.
In your results, you talked about the correlation being stronger between more morbid operations, and so like cholecystectomy, bariatric surgery had a weaker correlation between the CCI and cost, and I think you addressed this kind of in the discussion at ESA, but could you talk a little bit more about how, I think you said that the accuracy is still there, it's just the correlation is weaker. So what is the difference between the like accuracy and correlation? And then do you think there's a better way to predict costs in less morbid operations?
So yes, you actually talk about a very important point. And that's why I explained it as a two-step procedure before. The correlation of cost and overall morbidity, CCI, is the basis which was needed to actually have a prediction model which will bring results which are true. So if this wouldn't match as well, the overall morbidity and costs, because you must understand, the more complications a patient has, the more treatment the patient needs. And of course, the costs rise up, which means like longer hospital stay, more treatment, more hours in the OR. This all adds up costs. That's why it's important to collect each individual complication, not just once when it occurred, but whenever the patient has to go back into the OR, we need to count this as a separate complication, although it's still on the basis of the same problem, because each one of those treatments increases costs, and each one of these treatments need to go into the CCI calculation. And once you actually really count every single complication, it makes sense that it also increases in the same line as cost. So this is the basis of the correlation. For just out of interest, we analyzed it in the different groups of surgery. And as you saw, that in like cholecystectomy or bariatric surgery, there is a lower range of CCI. Meaning that, of course, after cholecystectomy, it's rare that a patient ends up on intensive care with a long intensive stay, intensive care treatment. Therefore, it makes sense that the range of the CCI is smaller. And because the range of overall morbidity is limited there, the correlation is not as strong. This has nothing to do with the accuracy of the prediction model, because for the prediction model, this was based actually on the whole range of CCI. So the accuracy of our prediction model is just as strong for lower CCI as for higher CCI. Actually, as we discovered, it's stronger for the lower CCI because we just have more results with lower CCI. Therefore, it doesn't matter if it's bariatric surgery or just a liver wedge resection, which, of course, also have low morbidity. The accuracy of the model is the same. Prediction and correlation, we shouldn't mix that. So these are, first, we need to establish correlation so we can develop a valid prediction model.
I wanted to go back to your when you were talking about the age and that being a big factor in the model. So if comorbidities do not need to be in this model, does that mean that we we do not need to risk adjust for these comorbidities when comparing surgeons on cost and complications. Is age the alone factor that we are considering?
I state my opinion. What we did is our prediction model just predicts cost. So, of course, you always have to reflect on comorbidities just for our model. Because comorbidity is very difficult to measure, common measures are ASA score or Charson comorbidity index. They're just not very precise measure of comorbidity because there is a lot of subjectivity, or the Charson also has measurements in there or illnesses in there which are not as severe nowadays anymore as they were some years ago. So that's, of course, we wanted to include comorbidity, but we did that by age as well as type of surgery. Because age, as we saw, the higher or the older the patient gets, the more comorbidity the patient has, of course, the more prone he is for complications after surgery. And this is reflected in the increased percentage which cost increase depending on the age group. And also surgery reflects very well certain comorbidities a patient brings. The easiest example I always find is bariatric surgery, because those people which are overweight usually have, or many of them have, comorbidities as hypertension or diabetes. So they're also, just in choosing this type of surgery in combination with the age, we have a very good reflection on the comorbidity of the patient. We can, it's, and the idea was actually to have a simple prediction model, not to give the surgeons more work. So we wanted to keep it simple. And once we saw that just by adding age and the type of surgery, we got such a great or strong prediction, we did not think it was necessary to include even more predictors, which make it more complicated.
Yeah, indeed. What we wanted is a simple formula and which captured these comorbidities. And when you take the baseline surgery age and then what's happening postoperatively, you basically capture all the comorbidity before. And I think this is one of the attractiveness from this formula, is that it's pretty straightforward.
Thank you. And you know, one of the broader implications of this research that you mentioned in your paper is that, you know, we could potentially reimburse surgeons in hospitals based on the CCI rather than a diagnosis-related group or something like that. What are your thoughts on using the CCI to benchmark and compare surgeons and further to maybe use that to reimburse surgeons in hospitals?
Well, I mean, this is, those are also very important questions, and you have a big debate in the U.S. also about risk avoidance, right? I mean, to disclose every complication, everything, people are very worried, and you just don't do it, right? You just don't operate this patient. So some people are very afraid of too many good tools to assess outcome. Transplant is an example, for example, but there are many other diseases. So I think this is every time when you do any kind of research, you come with your idea, but you do not control completely the use of the research, and you just hope that you are doing something good and not something bad. First question you have, can we assess your surgeon? We know from a group in Korea, in Seoul, they're doing a lot of, they do more than 1,000 gastrectomy, and in fact, they're using the CCI, showing slide, to evaluate the, I remember, 5 or 6 or 7 surgeons that are doing this, or to evaluate what they are doing over time. So you have to be very careful, I mean, by doing this. Number one, of course, if you just use CCI now here to evaluate a surgeon, you need to make sure that they operate the same type of patients, that you are not, you need some risk adjustment. So it can be used, but very carefully. I think it should be used internally. It should not be something on the website to judge your surgeon because he has a higher CCI, but that the people have the data, and then they can see themselves that my CCI is higher than the other people. I have more complication. Why is it? As an example, in our department in Zurich, every cases that are higher CCI that are benchmark need to be discussed in the MMN, so we can really discuss what's going on. So I think we have to be very careful here not to just use the CCI as another metric to evaluate people just like that. I think it really needs to be risk adjusted in some way. The second question you have about reimbursement, of course, as surgeon, we want to have easy tool that we understand that makes sense, that we have an idea about the cost. As you mentioned, and others, they say, well, this is great. So your stuff, the worse surgeon, have more money, right? I mean, if you treat your patient poorly and has a lot of complications, then you get more money. No payers, no insurance will go for that. So you need to have a use that is different, meaning that you need to evaluate the center. That's our, in our concept. You evaluate that the center is a center of excellence, that your data are good, right? That you're respectful of what we are doing, that need to be established. Then when that is done, that could be reevaluated every 2 or 3 years, then you use the CCI or the formula that Roxane has developed here, not just the CCI, but this formula to get your cost and to be reimbursed. I think that's important, that if there is complication, only those who never operated, no complication, that you can be reimbursed for what you have done. Will that pass? People like DRG, this is simple. They try to pay the least. And I think if us as a surgeon, we use this formula, are not trying to tell we are doing a good work with complication, but we are doing a good work, please reimburse based on the real cost, this is cost, then I think it could be a good tool. So at least this is what we try to promote. Will that be accepted? That's another question. But at least we can compare the reimbursement with what we think it is, and not just with insurance, but with our own hospitals.
Sorry, have you tried advocating for this policy change in Switzerland or in any other market?
Well, we are not so ambitious. We know this is an academic piece of work that Roxane has done, part of her PhD. Now, how people will use it, like the classification, we have to try. We're doing locally, we're doing in our hospital, from our department, we are comparing that. You know, between an idea, a publication, and adoption, you have usually a decade. You will be close to retirement when what you're doing is adopted by the entire world. It takes time. I think it needs to be tested. Number one is multi-centers been validated or by us. I just aware that there's a few other groups, I think in New York, if I'm correct, that they've used this and they found also good correlation. So it needs some sort of validation, acceptance by others. And then with the pressure we have on health, on the cost and all that, we may use this kind of tool. I'm pretty optimistic that at some point we may use it. It's simple, it's reproducible, and it goes across country. This is not charges. This is not the difference how you charge your patient in the US versus in France or in Switzerland. This is the real cost. So there's not so much difference. You know, you treat the patient the same way, the complications are about the same. So I think it gives a little bit the realistic cost of healthcare for patients. So we'll see.
First of all, in the paper, you and kind of what we're talking about, we're suggesting reimbursement based on complication rate as opposed to the DRG where you're compensating, or it's like a flat rate for a diagnosis. And so is that going to reward lower performing surgeons and hospitals? Is there a way to kind of differentiate when it's related to patient factors versus related to a variation in surgeon skills or hospital resources? And then secondary to that, my question, so again, in your discussion, I think at the ERS, the question came up about non-academic centers, and you talked about how they typically have lower costs because of the infrastructure, but what about low resource centers? Because I'd imagine the cost for a complication, even if it's a lesser complication, would still be greater for a lower resource region or hospital or center.
Well, I think the first question I somewhat tried to address with the previous question here, which means, are we rewarding poor performance because complication equals poor performance? I think what I'm saying here, I think particularly in a tertiary center, when you have complicated cases, you cannot have the same DRG that center are operating on patients who are less risk and less complication. So the first, in order to apply such formula, is to establish that your center is a center of excellence, that your benchmark are good, that you have good outcome, good process, whatever the healthcare policy want to establish. You're in an academic center or non-academic center, and your work is good, right, in metric, then you need to be reimbursed for your work. Once it's established, then you are reimbursed for what you have done, the cost, not the charge, what you have done, and that includes also complication, which take into account the comorbidities in the age, etc., at the end of the day. So you reimburse for the real work you have done. So that's the postulate, and you are not reimbursing for poor performance. That's another level of evaluation. If you have poor result, then you have action that need to be taken for your center, either you stop what you are doing, etc., as it's done in liver transplant and other things in the US. Now, the other question that you're asking is also a very good question, because, I mean, the cost of complication or how you treat the complication may indeed differ between particularly the community hospital and the largest academic centers. It could be different. That need to be tested. I think the principle is the same. The formula is the same. The baseline cost could be maybe less in different hospitals. We see that in Switzerland. If you go in our hospital or you go in a community hospital, the baseline for the same procedure is different. The insurance will pay more our academic center and pay less another one, and they can manipulate and send patients to the low-cost hospital. But at the end of the day, the formula is the same, and the baseline is included in the formula from Roxanne. It is here. So that needs to be studied to see what's the variation among countries, among the goal and the target, and the idea is something that would be applicable among countries and different type of hospital. That still needs to be tested.
Yeah, and I think that segues pretty well into our last question for you both, and that was this taking up this daunting task of like comparing these models over, totally two different healthcare systems. And the comparison between costs in Switzerland versus places like the U.S. Could you shed some light on how did you come up with this international validation? Kind of give us a brief overview on the recalibrated data table that you had in your paper. And did you have to like adjust for average prices in each country or market? Like how did you go around kind of tackling this big problem?
Actually, Professor Colomia mentioned the most important part already. What we collected were total costs, what actually the treatment of this patient during the period of 3 months, what this cost. And that's not the charges. So what we did is first we established this in Zurich, Switzerland, and then went to different countries and collected their data, which was this collected the same way, also in a prospective way. And then we looked at the data, and what we discovered is that there were not that many differences, especially between Switzerland and the US. We're both known for very high costs in healthcare. So there were not that many differences there. But compared to Europe, as we also mentioned in the paper, there was a difference. But it was a linear difference. So what we did is we adjusted the model by updating the intercept, which just moved up the prediction model a little bit. So the results were, again, accurate. So what we found eventually, or what we offer, is actually two different prediction models. One is for Europe and one is for the US, because we discovered these differences and we corrected for it. However, between Switzerland and the US, there was hardly any difference. And another thing, which is very important, what you get when you use the prediction model is you get the median of patients in the same age group with the same type of surgery and with the same CCI point. So, of course, there is a variation. There is not the precise amount of money you will spend on this patient, but you will get a very realistic reflection of what to expect.
Do you clarify then, for the American cohort, how were the costs accounted for? Dr. Clavian mentioned that it wasn't a question of charges to the payer specifically, but it was some sort of internal cost accounting. So how was that done?
We just asked them to give us the total cost, which it actually cost, which included hospital stay, the drugs used, everything that causes costs. We wanted them to include the difference. What was not included in the US data compared to Switzerland was the the fees for all the surgeons, or the surgeons as well as doctors included. So the fees for the anesthetist, the doctor, the resident, the surgeon were not included. So we found a little gap there. But still, there was not a big difference between the Swiss results and the American results. So we figured if we also would have gotten these results, including all the costs, including the fees for the physicians, then we would pretty much be at the same level. But it's what we wanted are the total costs, not what was actually charged, but what it actually costs. And they collected this very precisely.
I see. That does make sense. You know, for our listeners, I have the calculator open in front of me, and I came up with a hypothetical patient who was 60 years old and had a colectomy, and that was complicated by an acute kidney injury and an abscess requiring antibiotics and a percutaneous drainage. And that comprehensive complication index came out to 34.6, and then the predicted costs were $11,000 or 11,000 euro in Europe, 32,000 Swiss franc in Switzerland, and then $33,000 in the U.S. So I can see, so that sort of reflects what you're saying, that you know, American costs and Swiss costs were a little bit different, but then we also have to add in the professional fee for the American physicians that wasn't actually captured here. But overall, it's fascinating work, and you know, I think it certainly adds to our understanding of costs and complications for surgical patients. So we appreciate you all joining us. We're excited to share your work with our listeners.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Until next time, dominate the day.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.